Hello.
Hello again.
Hi there. Hey, you're listening to Frisky History. I'm Lacey.
And I'm Robin.
And I know you're probably thinking, what
Didn't
is this
these
again?
Bitches die?
What is?
Mm-hmm. I forgot about this show. I thought it was long gone.
I thought, let's never do it again. And yet, here we are.
Here we are.
We should reintroduce ourselves.
No pressure.
No pressure.
We're just completely different people now.
I'm actually Robin now.
Oh, it's been a whole thing.
So, yes, in 2017, far away in the closet of a studio apartment, we began this show as two people with no real experience or knowledge or expertise of any kind on anything that we cover since our last episode. It's been a year and a half. Mm-hmm. We still don't know shit.
That's right.
But we are less mentally stable and a whole year older.
And how fun is that?
Oh, that's going to make for some really good stuff, I think.
I think so.
So, yeah, every Friday, give or take, we will be here talking about something or someone from reproductive history.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe loosely tied to reproductive history.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're just doing what we want to
do. And honestly, sometimes we're just like, we don't even know if it counts. So... write in and tell us.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments below.
I prefer snow. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
Here it comes again. It's starting.
This podcast contains strong adult content, probably crude language, and general fuckery. So put those kids away. Get them out of here.
Good evening. A landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortion.
Huge increases in sexually transmitted diseases.
Transgender rights is a fundamental human right.
There is a right to marriage equality. I repeat, speaking to you from the steps of the Supreme Court, there is a right to marriage equality.
Should sex education be taught to our kids?
Rolling back contraceptive coverage for women.
To make sure that women get the health care that they need. So we've got a lot of work in front of us. Thank you very much.
Here we are yet again. You have to hear me exactly as I am. Okay, you ready?
I am. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
What the hell, right?
Let's do it. Let's just do it.
I know. Yes, we have a new episode for you. And here it is.
Here it is. Here we go. Here we go.
And Lacey did all the work.
I did. Oh, well.
For this one.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's not good. Sometimes. And then, in which case, Robin did
Yes. All sure, the work. I'll take that for you. Fine.
Listen, I've already been through so much, okay? Okay, so let me start by saying that this week we are going to go for the loose connection.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk about gender expression and sexuality through the life of a well-known artist.
Mm-hmm.
Magdalena Carmen Frida Kahlo y Calderon.
Wow.
So we're going to learn about Frida Kahlo.
This is great.
Are you a fan of Frida? Are you a Frida fan?
It is one of those things where I don't know who the hell she is.
But you've seen.
And it's been too long and I'm too embarrassed to ask.
But you did decide to admit it just now.
I am now admitting it here.
On record. It's the first step to getting better. So. Yeah,
exactly. You know, I think I can admit it now because I think at the end of this episode, I will have to
know
have
so
known
much.
More.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're going to know
I'll
like
retain it,
3,000,
right?
almost 4,000 more words about her than you knew before.
Oh my God. Well, I'm ready
to
keep count.
To cover.
I'm going to hold you to that number. And I know that the only thing I know is her being Salvador Dali's like muse. Is that right?
I don't know
Oh,
that.
Fuck.
If that is
That's
right.
That's probably wrong then.
No, I don't know.
I'm wrong. Oh, God. Fuck.
Well, first of all, if you're not wrong, I'm definitely cutting that out because how did I miss that? I know she knew Picasso.
Oh, fuck. Maybe that was
I didn't
it.
Include that, but I know that she did know him.
God.
Like, she was, like, friends with him, I think. Whatever. Listen,
Why
I'm gonna cut
talk?
This out.
Like,
I don't know. No one's ever gonna hear this part, so it's fine. Yes, let's go. You ready to learn about Frida? Let's learn about Frida. So Frida was born July 6th, 1907. But if you asked her, she was actually born in 1910, the beginning of the Mexican Revolution.
Okay.
Which is why, to understand Frida, we have to start by understanding Mexico at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be like a Cliff Notes version. Obviously, this is far more complicated than I could possibly tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think I'm smart enough to cover it all if I wanted to. So sorry if I missed something that is important, but it's 1876, and following two failed revolts and a forced exile to the U.S., dictator Porfirio Diaz comes into power in Mexico, and he gets straight to work, censoring the press, reducing the army, while simultaneously giving more power to the pigs. Sorry, police. Sorry. Slip. Who even? Yes, police, who acted as the guards for his dictatorship and did their part in intimidating his political opponents. Diaz also started taxing rural populations heavily, often subjecting them to forced labor. Public lands were being sold to private ownership, which meant that low-income people lost a lot of independence as they became renters and sharecroppers to landlords. Do you know what a sharecropper is? I did not. I had to look it up.
A sharecropper? Isn't that a farmer?
It sure is. Kind of. It's okay. A farmer, but basically, that is like renting the land and paying by giving part of the crop to the person that getting it from. So it's essentially the same as a living situation, but a farming situation instead. Mm-hmm. Under his rule, the majority of the population remained illiterate and very poor.
Mm.
And it's probably no surprise that it exclusively benefited the rich upper middle class, who, shocker, fully backed him.
Mm-hmm.
The Mexican intellectuals and leaders who supported Diaz had this disdain from indigenous Mexican culture, and they were like peeping colonizers for that culture, you know, quote, hard quote, cultural and capitalistic inspiration. So economically speaking, Diaz's regime was like great. It did a great job for Mexico's economy and the global economy. But something tends to happen when countries prioritize making money off of exploited workers. You may know where this is going.
Sure.
Mostly because I told you earlier, probably, huh? Because I mentioned it with the revolution thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I
have no idea.
No idea. It's a total surprise what's coming. You won't even guess. So in 1910, Diaz is up for re-election, but this time he is challenged by this man named Francisco Madero. And Francisco is a wealthy, landowning, liberal, upper-class guy. Diaz saw that Madero had a good chance of winning, so he decided to be the bigger person and, you know, handle in a very mature, honorable fashion. And just kidding. He threw him in jail, and he won the election. So,
okay.
So Madero escapes prison. He gets to San Antonio, and he starts to spread this revolutionary message of giving the land back to Mexico's people.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this wasn't so much out of his love for the people of Mexico or Mexico itself. It was more because he was hoping to start an uprising against Diaz, and it worked. He did. Mm. So within that same year, this like eat the rich style labor movement against the Mexican upper class begins. And the Mexican Revolution sought to return Mexico to Mexicans through land reforms, nationalization of natural resources, and a celebration of native culture. By 1911, thanks to the revolution, Diaz resigns and Madero is elected the next year.
Mm.
Great. So problem solved. Everything is
great,
good, right?
That, end Robin, story.
Absolutely not. God, how could you even think that? It's so like wrong. Wow. Turns out wealthy liberals may not actually care all that much about helping people when instead they could get more money and power for themselves.
Oh, that's crazy.
So wild, right? Something we never see anymore. I wouldn't say at all. So Madero quickly befriends the old regime. He expands the military and maintains the status quo. What once was a promise of land reform becomes an order to destroy and burn the land to fight against revolutionaries, the revolution he started himself.
What the fuck?
And this fight basically continues until 1934.
Okay.
So like year after year, a coup will oust one leader, another one will take power. The same thing will basically happen.
Right.
The revolution continues. So this is what Frida grew up in, a very chaotic, very politically charged class war.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Frida had a nice middle class childhood, growing up in a small town on the outskirts of Mexico City called, I think it's like Coyoacan, maybe? I think that might be correct pronunciation. Might not be at all. with her parents and siblings. Frida's mother, Matilde, I don't know if it's Matilde or if it's Matilde. I'm not sure how much you would pronounce it. I'm going to say Matilde. She was half Spanish, half indigenous Tijuana woman, and she was a devout Catholic. Her father, Guillermo Calo, was a photographer, and he was either Jewish Hungarian or German Lutheran. There are debates. Wow. Yeah. Could
heavily debated.
Heavily debated. Which one of those he actually belonged to, not sure, but sure. One of those two, I'm guess. At age six, Frida contracted polio and began her lifelong relationship with pain. So she spent 9 months bedridden, but she did survive, obviously. How weird would that be if everything that came out of Frida, she was at six, Salvador Dali's views. I have to see if that's a thing. God, if I miss that, I'm going to feel like such a
I don't know about Muse, or if maybe he painted her once and I'm conflating it, or maybe nothing at all.
They were friends? I don't know.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't know either. I mean, entirely. I am going to get a new podcast person, though, just because I can't be around someone who thought.
Oh, yeah. You understand? Yeah. No, completely. Completely. So, have fun podcasting alone.
I actually don't have any other friends, so true. yeah, okay, so she spent 9 months bedridden but survived, with the only lasting effect being a limp from the growth of her right leg being stunted.
Okay.
Because of that, her father encouraged her to strengthen her legs by playing sports like boxing and soccer, which was not something girls did at the time. Like a lot of countries, Mexican culture was steeped in strict gender roles, very like machismo, which is super just like,
totally.
You know, that's what men do.
Yeah, a lot. Constantly.
I feel like that's just what they do. And like together and stuff.
Love it.
I love it. Men were encouraged to indulge in whatever. Harassing women, drinking, fighting, like whatever makes you more of a man.
Do it.
Great. Just do it. Yeah. Whatever. Just that's do right. it. Women, however, were expected to behave morally with self-control and would be ostracized for anything but.
Totally.
Frida's father did not subscribe to this idea. He seemed pretty cool. I like him. Either I like him whether he's Jewish Hungarian or German Lutheran. I just like him, you know?
You're so
not going to take sides.
Yeah.
he was very non-traditional. He, especially when it came to views of gender roles, gender expression. And Frida explored herself freely through experiences, education, style, sexuality, and art. And she never had to choose between her femininity and her masculinity. Mm-hmm. She was everything. Listen, if you're not in love with her by the end of this episode, I question whether you are. At all?
Okay.
Because she's... Yeah. I just love her so much.
Oh, man.
Oh, she's so amazing. Okay.
I'm excited.
So while most young girls were cooking, cleaning, and caretaking, her father would lend her books and his suits to wear. He would teach her painting and photography, and he encouraged her to learn about nature and archaeology. Frida also explored her sexuality from a supposed young age. This is another bit of unconfirmed information, so this may not be true, but some people believe that at 13, Frida had her first, I'm going to say unhealthy because it would have been, a sexual relationship with, ironically, her health teacher, Sarah Zanil. Obviously, there was an age difference there and the power dynamic. So
yes,
this is an abuse situation, less of a relationship situation. But in letters that Frida's mother supposedly found, Frida believed she was in love. Luckily, once her mother found out, Frida was transferred immediately to a different school. So she was taken out of this school that her mother wanted her to attend to basically become a teacher, which is like one of those jobs that women, it was like, that was one of the jobs that women took, you know? But her father actually wanted her to attend a different school. So now it's 1922. Frida's 15. She's attending the prestigious National Preparatory School. And this is just a few years after girls were even allowed to attend the school. So she is one of 35 out of 2,000 students who are women.
Yep. Oh no.
35 women out of 2,000 students.
Oh no.
And honestly, she's immediately so fucking cool. She's so fucking, she's of course, 15. Though. So fucking
great
cool.
Age. Just kidding. That was truly the worst.
She becomes a member of the Los Cachuchas, I think is how you say it, which is this like political Marxist school group named after these like peaked cloth caps that they would wear as like a fuck you to the school's like strict dress code, because it's like a preparatory school. So they would have to wear like the probably very Catholic school looking uniforms, right. I would assume. I'm assuming that based on the Selma Hayek Frida movie, which is what they wear. So, mm-hmm.
Okay, sure.
take that, you I know, believe it. With power.
Who cares?
So they also loved a good prank. All the classics. Donkey in a classroom. Fireworks during a lecture. Like, they were hilarious.
Donkey in a classroom.
Donkey in a classroom. It's good shit. Frida started dating the leader of the Cachuchas, Alejandro Gomez Arias, maybe, is how you would say his last name. But at the same time, a very famous artist named Diego Rivera was painting the amphitheater at their school, and 15-year-old Frida was infatuated. Mm-hmm. He was 36.
Oh.
So, I don't love that.
I can't say... I didn't have a crush on my high school math teacher.
Oh, like, absolutely.
I get the infatuation. Yeah. I get that. Because
actually,
like,
mine was also on my math teacher. What is it with this? Are they like just hot?
Something that I've found that
hot men love numbers.
Whatever. Yeah, right?
Division.
Very logical. Numbers driven.
Yeah.
Numbers
but also,
equal
like,
money.
Not that hard of math because they're like high school teachers. So it's like.
They were cool.
Yeah.
There were like a couple of math teachers. Yeah. I was like, you can get.
Yeah. I definitely had a hot math teacher in like maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe like ninth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember what he looks like anymore, but I remember he was hot.
So I get that because it's like there's a. The older man thing.
Yeah.
When you're young, yeah. I want a man. I don't want any of these boys. They're mm-hmm. so silly.
I hate it because it's dangerous. Because
yeah.
we've
is
all
dangerous.
Been in bad situations where you're like,
of
you think
course.
Back and you're like, hello. He was a gross, disgusting, full grown ass adult.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Yes. So, okay. I'm a little nervous about where this goes.
Okay. But. It's okay. It doesn't go it doesn't go too bad of a place right now.
Sure.
She would watch him work on this mural, and she would put soap on the stairs to make them slippery, and she would steal food from his lunchbox. Basically, just like really good 15-year-old flirting. Just great.
Yeah,
who doesn't love?
Of course.
Like,
fucking, yeah.
What doesn't make you want to fall in love with someone when you're like, I'm hungry and I hurt my knee, so you're right. You've talked me into
you
it.
Got me again.
Let's get married. Okay, so they... did become like acquaintances at the time, but mm-hmm. nothing more than that. We'll
sure.
come back to him later.
Okay.
First, we have to talk about September 17th, 1925.
Finally.
You've been waiting for it. It's the moment. Here yeah. we are. September 17th. Big day.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
I know it well.
A terrible day.
Oh, fuck.
I'm sorry.
I came
I set that
hot.
Up like it was something great, and I should have known. I should have said it more like, first, we have to talk. Robin? We
Listen,
have to talk about September 17th, 1925.
Clueless smile on his fucking face. Oh, fuck. Okay, serious now.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's good. Frida and Alejandro were on a bus when it collided with a streetcar, and Frida was impaled by a steel handrail that basically went through her abdomen and out of her vagina.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, it was like a really bad accident.
What
so,
the fuck?
Her spinal column was broken in like three different places. Her ribs were broken. She had a broken pelvis, a broken collarbone. Her right foot, which is the leg that already was stunted in growth from polio. Mm-hmm. Her right foot was crushed and the leg was fractured in 11 places.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like an idiot right now because like everybody knows who Frida Kahlo is and everyone listening to this is probably like, yeah, we all know. And I'm like, oh, is she okay?
I'll be honest. I honestly probably would not have known about the accident part of this if it weren't for the Selma Hayek movie about her.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Which is a terrible scene. Oh. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, okay.
The movie's
okay.
great. That particular scene in the movie is not very good. It's very like cheesy, and they clearly didn't. It's
not
good. They didn't
have
the budget for that kind of big set piece. Yeah, so it's a lot of just like, like kind of swaying back and forth, and the next thing you know, cut to destroyed. And so it's just like but anyway, the movie is great. I highly recommend it. I love that movie.
Okay, great. After the accident,
Frida would suffer physically for most of her life. But this was also a difficult time for her emotionally. No one thought she'd ever walk again. The doctors actually didn't even think she was going to live, but after she lived, they were like, yeah, you're not walking ever again, probably. She had to drop out of school, and she wanted to be a doctor. So that was effectively the end of that dream.
Wow.
And she felt really alone at this time because she was recovering at her childhood home, which is far away from her friends. Her relationship with Alejandro fell apart. He accused her of being loose. Okay. Well, fuck off.
Oh, my God. Dude. Fuck off.
Bro.
Why?
Fuck off.
Why? Now
she did supposedly write letters and talked about how she was kissing and dating other people, but like, sorry that she's what, like 18 at this time, that she, you know, defied traditional expectations, including the monogamy of that relationship. Oh, yeah. Sorry, your teenage mind can't handle it.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Get over it. God. Anyway, so that's sad. Didn't work out for them.
He's just insecure.
But this is also when she started painting.
Okay.
So she created her first self-portraits while in bed recovering. She's saying that she started painting self-portraits because she was the subject that she knew best.
Wow.
So she's like stuck at home. How she did it was like she's like stuck at home in this like full body cast. Like, the whole thing is just like cast up. So her parents built her this like special easel that could like sit in front of her, and they put a mirror on the like inside of the canopy at the top of her bed. So she was able to like look up into a mirror and like paint herself.
Wow.
In these self-portraits.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was That's just amazing. Like, I would have definitely just been laying there like watching Netflix and hating my life. So really appreciate you turning that pain into a beautiful thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Really makes you feel bad about yourself, though, doesn't it?
I'm just thinking about me in this moment.
Per usual, always just thinking about us.
No, that's pretty fucking powerful.
Yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah.
Why she's like so powerful.
She's amazing. So at the time, painting wasn't even this like huge passion for her. It was more of just like a way for her to pass time while she recovered.
Yeah.
Which is another thing where it's just like, you didn't... And you
She's
were
like,
so good. Yeah. She's just like so, but also like, I didn't write this anywhere, so I'm don't totally know all the details on it because I've forgotten. But like, a lot of people assume that she had a good education when it came to art because there's a lot of things in her paintings that she did that were reminiscent of a certain style of painting or a certain painter that was very famous. So it's like she probably learned how. I mean, I think her father. One of the things her father taught her was like painting, and he probably. Gave her a very good education on it, but it wasn't, but it was just like, she was just like, yeah, I'm fucking bored. I can't do anything.
Bored,
and I'm sad and everything hurts. And so like, I guess I'll just paint myself.
Yeah. And to like find a way to express that pain and all of that. It's like naturally she just came up with these methods. Oh, that's really cool. And she also like, it sounds like she was very like well-read and like,
yeah, very smart.
Just naturally intelligent. Well, I don't want to say naturally because obviously that takes work too, but yeah, she just had a really like cool family too.
and she like honestly she had this like huge passion for her country and for politics and she devoted herself in that kind of world far before she like really had like a painting career. But like she's like 18, which is just, I mean, when she joins that Marxist group in high school, she's like 15. I'm like, I didn't even know
Oh my God.
I didn't know anything.
I didn't know fucking shit.
I still
couldn't tell you one thing.
So it's
Name
just like,
one thing that happened.
She's just
I don't know.
So impressive. Like,
yeah.
What a lady.
Really fucking cool. That is really fucking cool.
So she officially joins the Mexican Communist Party in 1928, even though it had become outlawed in 1925. You know, she was like, fuck the law. I'm a communist. Let's and I'm going to be a part of this party. So yeah. She was very active, organizing events, giving speeches, attending secret meetings and rallies. And during this time, she also started dressing in a really masculine, militant way. Like, she would wear, like, kind of militant clothing with, like, little hammer and sickle pins on them.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Is that the first time that she kind of did this, like, you know, exploring masculine clothing? There's, like, a very famous family portrait of her when she's younger with her family, and she comes out in like her father's suit, and like,
aww,
she's so cool.
That's awesome.
But she saw this at the time as a way to express and exert her power and independence. And even when she wasn't exploring her androgynous side, Frida's style was always a part of her like personal and political expression. So she really like, she hated America. She hated the United States. And also Paris was another one that she was just like, I hate it here. And she like took the stand against like with the white beauty standards. And she celebrated her like mixed culture and Mexican women. So like one of the most defining things about her physically is like her dark, thick monobrow. And like sometimes you can see her like facial hair, her like mustache, which she would actually darken with makeup to exaggerate them.
Cool.
And she also just chose not to remove any body hair. So she, you know, didn't worry about shaving anything.
Yeah.
And she was known for wearing this, like, interpretation of this Tawana dress, which is basically, like, a really full, long skirt, like, floor-length skirt with this embroidery blouse. It's kind of boxy. And then usually, like, a really elaborate hairstyle, like, flower crown or, you know, something like that. Cool. Like, so cool.
Awesome.
And she often also supported these rebozo scarves, which were first introduced by the Spanish colonizers, but they were later changed by Aztec villagers with embroidery and dyes. And the scarves were like also worn by the women fighting in the revolution. So they were known as soldaderas or adelitas. And they would use the scarves to like smuggle guns through government checkpoints.
Whoa.
So cool. They're so cool. They're all so cool.
Wow.
Oh
my
so
god.
Cool.
I'm such a piece of shit.
So, totally. Same.
You are a piece of shit.
Yeah. You are, Robin. I couldn't agree more. I've been actually meaning to talk to you about
it. Not
about
cool
how
at
much
all.
Of a piece of shit you are.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is just and she's still so young. It just blows my fucking mind.
We haven't even gotten to her fucking painting career.
Oh my god.
So cool. I'm also gonna show you some pictures. I mean, she's so fucking beautiful. Ugh. Like she's so fucking so cool. Beautiful too. Oh, she's amazing. I love her so much. I'm full of rage for my love.
Yeah, she takes like a little bit of everything that you perceive to be masculine or feminine, and she smashes it all together and makes you realize like, oh, gender shouldn't fucking exist.
Yeah.
Like gender doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah, we made that up.
So fucking we made
that up.
The fuck up.
So Frida's clothing was also a way to accommodate and distract from her physical disabilities, not distract in a way that she was like ashamed of them, but like the long skirts would like conceal her leg and her limp, the like elaborate like flower crowns that she would wear and these like really like big, bold, like jewelry pieces or like even the tops that she wore were very embroidered and like very like colorful.
Yeah.
So that would all like draw attention to her upper body. And they were, like, loose, boxy shirts, so she could fit, like, a whole body cast underneath them if she needed, you know, like, because she had to wear them a lot in her life. So, like, basically, when it came to living with disabilities, she just did things on her own terms. Like, she was, like, in the eyes of others, like, she wasn't going to let her, like, living with disabilities define her in their eyes. And she controlled, like, how and when she shared her pain with the world, which is, like, really through her art. So we'll come back to that, but like she was just what a lady. Okay, so in 1928, 21-year-old Frida is also reunited with Diego Rivera, the muralist. And it took like no time at all. They got married. Straight up married.
Lovely.
They shared a very deep, passionate love. But also, it was a pretty unhealthy one. She was his third wife, and he had a reputation for being quite the slut. He really liked to sleep around a lot. And he was honest about it. Like, he Mm-hmm. He was once diagnosed by a doctor as unfit for monogamy.
By a but doctor? That's like when my dentist was like, you're depressed.
That's my gynecologist said the same thing to me. I'm just kidding. That's amazing. I love that you're dentist.
It's because I was grinding my teeth. Or maybe he said I was stressed out. Who knows? Whatever. Yeah. But he's a fucking fuck you.
It's because I was grinding my teeth dentist. And also crying in his chair.
He literally was like, what's going on? Are you okay? Yeah. I was like, what?
I mean, you're clearly not. Look at your teeth. They're a mess.
But yeah, for a doctor,
get some help.
Doctor to be like, I don't recommend you being a doctor. I'm writing you a prescription for tomfoolery. Oh my God. Interesting. So was he like up? You're probably going to talk about this.
Yes.
Right now.
So she knew what she was getting into.
Okay.
But it wasn't something that she would have liked. Like she didn't like it. She knew though going into it kind of what he was like.
She was hoping he would change. Maybe.
I think she knew he I would assume. I mean, obviously, let me tell you. We talked about it like last week on the phone. Me and Frida. I would assume that she. Just was like, I would say that maybe there was a hope, but I don't think she thought that was realistic.
Right. Okay.
And I think she was just like, I love him for who he is. So I will learn to live with this, basically, I would assume. So it's kind of like in today's terms, what we would think of as an open marriage, but like not an agreed upon, like well communicated one. It was kind of like was that.
Right.
And they both had affairs. So, Frida was, you know, I think that she did have affairs, but she was much more deeply hurt by Diego's, and his were probably also much more frequent, including one with her sister.
Okay, that's not great.
Not good. Very, very, very bad. There it is. Very bad. Yeah. Also, that's bad on her sister. Not a great choice.
Dude, imagine.
Can't imagine. Cannot.
No. That sucks.
Yeah.
That
after.
Really not. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. Yeah,
don't
on.
Do that. Like, there's
Control
so
yourself.
Many women out there. Just, like, don't so fuck the like, two or three that are, like, directly my siblings. I think she had two or three sisters now. I can't remember now. Three? I can't remember. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I'm sure it does matter, but I'm not, you know what I mean. Okay, after that affair with her sister, she cut all of her hair off. Like, she had this, like, really, she was, like, kind of known for this, like, long, dark, beautiful hair. She cut it all off. Something Diego really loved as well was her long hair. Oh, like, been there, you know? Oh, yeah. I'm so sad. Let me cut bangs. Like, no. Put the scissors.
I'm going to cut my bangs.
It won't make you feel better. You will feel worse.
It feels good when
when
I do
put it down. We
just
all.
A little shorter.
God. I think I can do it myself. Yeah, so for Diego, if Frida had an affair with a man, he would fucking rage with jealousy. Like, he forbade it, which did not work. I mean, she didn't care.
No.
You fucked her sister.
Yeah, like, what the fuck ground do you have to stand on?
You have none. You get to say absolutely nothing about it.
You're doing the exact same shit. No, that's fucked up.
That's fucked up. Yeah. He did think it was amusing that she also had sexual relationships with women. He called it her lesbianism. Okay. And he encouraged that. He was fine with it, which...
That's so fucking annoying.
That's so fucking stupid. It is so annoying. It doesn't make any sense. And it's still, like, totally still a thing.
It is 100,000% still a thing.
They're just like, have sex with a woman. It's just how we treat it in our country.
It's hot.
It's like,
I think it's hot.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not. Like, okay, why are you not threatened by that? Because you should be.
Because there is an emotional attachment there. And like, with men, it's like, I don't know. They think when they get all like alpha. It's like, not that I've done this. I'm talking about like, this is what happens.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. It's fucked up how men see other men as a huge threat,
right?
But then they see a woman, it's like, it's like, fuck, and you should be threatened.
You should be really fucking threatened.
You should feel,
because I mean, like,
unsafe.
Okay, we'll list off her like lovers, yeah. and people, I mean, fucking people loved her.
Yeah.
So like, you should be threatened. So, okay. So Frida had an affair with the exiled Soviet communist Leon Trotsky. He was a big deal.
Whoa.
And he and his wife were seeking asylum in Mexico, and they were going to stay in her childhood home. So he would like slip Frida notes in her books, like right in front of his wife. The audacity, honestly. And the two of them would also speak English to communicate, like right in front of her, because she didn't speak Yikes. English. Oh, that's so funny. That's a little bit harsh. That's messed up. And I'm also kind of jumping around on the timeline all kinds of ways in this episode, but just so you have the full story with this guy. So he and Diego had this like falling out after Diego learned that Trotsky was fucking Frida. Mm-hmm. And in August of 1940, Trotsky was murdered.
Ooh.
Yeah, this asylum thing was serious. He was like actually yeah. like for sure in danger. So he was murdered, and Diego became a suspect in Mexico.
Oh shit.
But Diego was able to evade the Mexican police and he got into the US, but the police arrested Frida because they were like, you're married to him.
What?
And she was interrogated and kept in prison for 2 days. What the fuck, Diego?
Whoa.
What? I mean, I according to again the movie Frida with Selma Hayek, he also got her out of prison, but it's just like, hello. You just like ran away from the police and left her
you got this, right?
behind. And she got this is the 1940s, like
oh my god.
What prison is like when you're being interrogated? You know, like dude. I don't know what kind of rules there are. Probably not great ones.
No, I can't imagine they're
I mean, let's be honest. Like what the U.S. does right now is probably also it's terrible. But like, yeah, he just like whatever. Moving on.
That's fucking crazy.
I hate him sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, well, but also, you know, I'm very.
He really just let her out to dry. That's fucked up. That is fucked up.
Yeah, and she just straight up got arrested. I mean, neither of them did anything.
That's
but
also
like,
fucking crazy that we can be like, you're married to him, so we're gonna.
And it's like
he
evaded the police, so he knew the police thought that he did it.
Yes,
you didn't think that they were gonna like go to the person closest to you, like the person you're maybe married to, or
that's so selfish. Ugh, that's horrible.
Okay, so another one, you know who Georgia O'Keeffe is, right?
Yes.
Frida and Georgia O'Keeffe had a rumored affair as well.
What?
Uh-huh. So they met in the early 1930s in the United States, and they were both female artists, both married to older men who were also artists, and the male careers were, like, overshadowing theirs at the time. Classic. So they had all this stuff in common. And
we both hate men.
Specifically the ones we're married to. In a letter to O'Keefe, who at the time was hospitalized for having a nervous breakdown, like me every Tuesday.
God,
me
dude.
Right before we turn these microphones on.
Oh my God. Too real.
So Frida wrote, "I thought of you a lot and never forgot your wonderful hands and the color of your eyes. If you are still in the hospital when I come back, I will bring you flowers. I would be so happy if you could write me even 2 words. I like you very much, Frida."
Stop.
I mean, Georgia. Sorry. It'd be crazy if she wrote her own name. Sorry. Sorry, I meant Georgia, but also myself. And then in another letter to a friend, Frida wrote about O'Keefe saying, "O'Keefe was in the hospital for 3 months. She went to Bermuda for a rest. She didn't make love to me that time. I think on account of her weakness." Too bad. Slightly different tone on that one. Love them both. Amazing.
Too
okay.
bad.
This is my favorite one. It's just one quick sentence. You may or may not remember this person, but Frida also had an affair with Josephine Baker, who we talked about in our burlesque episode.
Yes.
She was that awesome bitch who just fucking like danced for Nazis and then got all the information, gave it to fucking.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
episode 58.
Cool.
Go check it out. I love Josephine Baker. She's fucking
so
cool.
Fucking
another
sick.
Fucking just, God, they're so cool.
She's like, haha, I'm distracting you, but I'm also destroying you. That's so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So Frida's list of lovers also crossed over with Diego's because she had a history of befriending and charming his girlfriends.
Oh.
And having sex with them because she's just fucking awesome. I mean, obviously.
Queen.
So this included like an actress named Paulette Goddard. It's Goddard. There's only one O. Should have stopped while I was at. She was once married to Charlie Chaplin, apparently. I don't know. I mean, that's...
Could you imagine being married to Charlie Chaplin?
Also, actress Dolores Del Rio, who is one of the first Latin American stars in Hollywood, assumed to be a bisexual woman, which is why people think it's not like confirmed that they had a relationship together. I think it's confirmed that Dolores Del Rio did sleep with Diego, but not Frida.
So many love triangles. Oh my God.
Yes.
It's amazing. Like,
so many. I mean, it would excite all the hot high school math teachers, all these triangles. Sorry.
No, don't be. I needed that.
Frida did give Del Rio a painting entitled Two Nudes in the Jungle, which depicts like two naked women, like one laying on the lap of another. And one of them resembled Del Rio. So that's kind of why people were like, you guys fuck.
In the jungle.
Another affair she had was with a Japanese-American sculptor named Issam Noguchi. Noguchi, I think is how you say it. He was like obsessed with Frida, as he should be. He once wrote about her, "You are to me every love thought." Okay, cool.
That's sweet.
It's great. That's so nice of you. They even tried to get an apartment together, but some idiot sent Diego the bill for the furniture that they were buying, so that didn't work out. And then there was another time that Noguchi was in bed with Frida when Diego came home, and he had to do what I imagine is like that old climb out of the window with your dick out, like holding your clothes kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like how I like to blanket, imagine that happened.
A knotted blanket on the window.
A prison escape.
Oh my God.
Yes, but he accidentally left a sock behind. So Diego found out and literally threatened him with a gun. Not to overreact. You fucked her sister!
I know. Let's also bring it back to that. But I feel like I see a sock I don't recognize every day. And there's part of me that's like, who cares? It's a sock you don't recognize. But now, I'm like, who the fuck?
What sculptor are you having sex with, sir?
I also haven't left my house in two whole years.
Yeah, it would be very hard for Danny to have an affair.
Have company. Jesus.
Yeah. I've lived in too many apartments that you don't have a washer and dryer in to worry about random things found in your like laundry. You're just like, I must have. That's someone else's, I guess.
That's mine now. Great pair of socks.
Oh, this is a good sock. Only one, but I like it. Frida's longest affair was with a Hungarian-American photographer, Nicholas Murray, who used to take portraits of Frida. He was also all about her. But their relationship ultimately ended because of her love for Diego. I think at some point he wrote a thing that was just like, I love you, but I could always tell that in the relationship of the three of us, there was always just the two of you. So I think he felt kind of bad about
that's
it.
Sad.
Yes. And I could go on and on because she was a real charming bitch with a nice, healthy sexuality that she like to explore with both female and male lovers, premarital and extramarital affairs. She did it all. All of these affairs took place while she was in various stages of her relationship with Diego. They did officially divorce once, but they remarried not very long after they divorced.
Oh, God.
But their relationship was always kind of rocky. At one point, they lived in like two separate houses, but connected to each other.
Yeah.
And she often referred to him as her baby. Or she would say that she suffered two grave accidents in life. One was the streetcar, the other, Diego.
Ooh, harsh. I love that.
Love it so much. So good.
Fair.
Yeah. But however unhealthy, there was no denying how important he was to her. They each regarded each other as Mexico's greatest painter. Diego's work revolved around big political public murals of Mexican history, social movements, and workers, some of which actually included Frida, and usually as a more masculine figure. So, you know, he would show her in her, like, kind of militant clothing in a mural, or he would refer to her as, like, both the feminine and masculine Spanish words for painter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he understood and respected her, like, androgynous nature. Yeah. In her own work, Frida challenged the traditional expectations placed on Mexican women while exploring deeply personal, introspective themes. I went to art school, so just kidding. I don't remember anything at all. Her self-portraits often express her physical pain as well as her strength through that pain in a painting, which I'm going to show you. Okay, first, just look at her. Do you want to just look at her?
Yeah.
Like, look how, just, like, look.
Oh, my God.
Wait, look at, look.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah,
she's so just beautiful. Like, so, I mean, so beautiful. God. Okay, so this.
These, like, color palettes, too, and mm-hmm. everything. It's just okay. stunning.
So this painting right here is what I'm about to... Oh, I'm so sorry!
It's okay, don't be sorry! The
okay.
image.
Okay, the image. So that is the painting I'm about to talk about. Okay. It's entitled The Broken Column.
Wow.
And in the painting, Frida depicts herself with nails piercing her face and body. Her upper body is split open to reveal a stone column where her spine should be.
Right.
Her exposed breast and tears and long hair paired with the exaggerated brow and mustache and that stone cold face. She's like balancing that feminine Mexican identity mm-hmm. and her like masculine energy. Okay, this one too. This work is called The Tree of Hope. And she has painted this scene where there's like two Fridas dividing the canvas. And one of them is sitting like really strong and confident in a bright red dress. And the other lies with her back with cuts all along it. So you kind of can see that mm-hmm. like the life that she lives underneath all of the beautiful mm-hmm. outfits that she was so well known for was like such a difficult life of pain. You know, her life yeah. is full of surgery. She was always trying to correct something, Oof. Then correct the thing from the other surgery. You know, it's just like wow. a constant kind of thing for her. Mm-hmm. Along with physical pain, she also explored emotional pain in her work. So this is a self-portrait with cropped hair where you can see her wearing this like oversized black suit. She's holding scissors surrounded by her long strands of hair. And that was actually after Diego's affair with her sister is mm-hmm. when she painted this portrait. So it's coming from this like real Ooh. Place of mm-hmm. something she did to herself out of deep emotional pain, and she's kind of like showing herself like, you know, no longer as this like feminine delicate woman. It's like now she's got this like masculine like suit and haircut mm-hmm. and like she's like, oh, you like my long dark hair, Diego? Like, how about fuck you, I'm gonna chop yeah. it all off and show you ain't shit. Yeah. I'm the only man I'll ever need.
Yeah. So truly
amazing.
Oh yeah, that one's powerful. That's yeah, like I got chills.
This one is the last one, I think. So this is entitled Henry Ford Hospital. And Frida mm-hmm. depicts herself lying on a hospital bed, naked and bleeding, with symbolic and some literal things floating around her as a reflection of her miscarriage. And that was actually one of the three pregnancies that never came to term for her for either health reasons or because she chose to terminate the pregnancy. So you just can kind of see how, like, this is, like, literally her life that you yeah. look at in her work. And it's, like, that is one thing that, like, the Frida movie, it does it really well to like, pair it together because you see the thing happen, you know, a reenactment of the thing happening in the movie. And then you see the painting and like, they just handle it in this, like, really beautiful way. I definitely cried, like, tons of times throughout it all because it's just so you see the works and you're like, yeah, this is amazing. And then you see them put so closely to what she had to go through to create something like that. And it's just, wow.
Oh, it's heavy.
Lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so like, just like, I don't want to say brave, but it is brave.
Yeah.
Because brave sounds like, oh, you're so brave. But it really is to put it out there for all of these people to see. And mm-hmm. just, that's so scary.
So Frida's artwork has been described as surrealism, though Diego always argued that Frida was a realist. But either way, Frida didn't really care for any labels. Once writing that, really, I do not know whether my paintings are surrealist or not, but I do know that they are the frankest expression of myself, which is just like, yeah. I see that. Throughout her career, Frida had expositions and commissions in New York City, in Paris, but it was her first solo exposition, exhibition. Sorry. I don't know if I said that wrong before either. It was her first solo exhibition in Mexico in 1953 that I think meant the most to her. She was literally bedridden at the time from another like surgery and from her health problems. But she was still like, fuck off, I'm going. This is the thing I've always wanted. Like, I'm going to be there. So an ambulance took her there and she spent the night in a bed that was set up in the gallery so she could still be a part of it. The next year, a week after her 47th birthday, Frida died in her childhood home in what may have been a premature death, a supposed premature death. Some people think that she might have had a surgical addiction that led to her early death. And the like reasoning behind that is that Frida, they assume that Frida learned that when she faced health issues, that Diego would stay by her side, keeping him from sleeping with other women. And then it's possible in the end that she had unnecessary surgeries that even her doctors wouldn't have recommended so that he would be there. But don't buy it.
It's a theory.
It's a theory. But like she literally probably lived most of her life in like immense pain. So it's like,
I can't imagine.
Constant back braces.
Like, we'll never know.
Constant cast. She was bedridden all the time. She got gangrene in her right foot and they ended up having to like amputate it to stop the spread. So like at some point she like, she lost like part of her right leg and she, of course, did the most Frida thing and like designed her own like prosthetic leg with this like amazing shoe that like she got made for her. It was just, it's in like, probably in a museum or part of an exhibition. So over her lifetime, she had 30 operations is what I read. But even if at the end doctors weren't even like recommending it, I think it's possible that if you're in that much pain and this surgery could help, you're like, well, I'm going to be in pain anyways. Okay, let's try. You know, like, so I don't know. That's, I don't really buy into that one, but some people believe that. The cause of her death on her death certificate is a pulmonary embolism, but it's also like suspected a possible suicide, which again, would not blame her for like wanting to end her pain. Like, I think it was painkiller situation that probably caused it. But also she did have an addiction to alcohol and painkillers. She emotionally and physically went through a lot and she drank a lot. So I think that there's like things in there about how she was like really shaky near the end of her life. So I think all of it came together and I think eventually a pulmonary embolism.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's a heart thing. I don't know. I don't totally know, though. Maybe a brain thing. I don't know. Let's say it's either the heart or the brain or possibly one of the other vital organs.
A part of the body.
Definitely. A thing that happens that in the body.
Stops happening when,
then the body stops happening.
Oh my God.
So
so weird that there's like still mystery kind of around her death, but.
I mean, if she did like make the end of her life happen sooner, I would totally understand that. I mean, like, how much can one person take? Like,
it's a lot.
The pain she must have been in.
Procedures.
Yeah.
Is. Oh my God. And just the recovery and everything. I mean, yeah, they said she would probably not live first. And then they were like, well, you're definitely not going to walk. So it's just crazy that she even survived it, let alone like.
And walked. And she, I mean, she always walked with like a limp and probably a cane a lot of the time. But she was like, fuck you, I am walking.
It's just, that's I imagine like painkillers became normal. I mean, just because it's like throughout so many procedures you have to take them afterwards and it's like you're just kind of it's like a constant stream.
And it's just like I still have to get up today and be a person, so I'm gonna need some help with that because everything hurts a lot.
Fucking God.
So through all of this, in the final years of her life, she continued to paint and she also continued to support political causes. In her words, I must struggle with all my strength to contribute the few positive things my health allows to the revolution, the only reason to live. So even 11 days before her death, Frida attended a protest in her wheelchair against the CIA intervention in Guatemala. I have a picture. I mean,
oh my God,
She was just like, that's 11 days before she died. I mean, which also, if you're looking to rage later and you're not aware, you should Google that, because the CIA intervention in Guatemala is,
oh my God.
And it's also far from the only time we did it, but we fucked up a whole country for a really bad reason. I don't know if you know, but
yeah, to wrap it all up.
We're the worst. Okay. Throughout her life, Diego Rivera overshadowed Frida Kahlo as an artist. Once she was even described by the American press as Rivera's petite wife who sometimes dabbled in paint.
Bitch.
So the worst.
That's so annoying.
So annoying. But today, she's considered one of Mexico's, if not one of the world's greatest painters. Mm-hmm. With the birth of the 1970s feminist movement, her life and work became an icon for female creativity, independence, and artistry. She's inspired generations of artists, bisexual women, LGBTQ activists, with her iconic fashion, with her relationship and life struggles. With her refusal to conform to societal norms, her physical and emotional pain, and the art that captured it all. And just to end, one more quote. This is a quote from Shassi Lotan, who is an award-winning curator and art consultant. She said about Frida, "Complex and layered, Frida's appeal and relatability can be attributed to the fact that she could never be defined by one thing. Simultaneously, feminist, communist, queer, disabled, gender fluid, revolutionary, unapologetically herself, and most importantly, proudly Mexicana, it's no surprise that Frida remains a contemporary icon to so many marginalized groups that never receive the adequate mainstream representation they deserve."
Mm.
And that's Frida.
Wow.
I love her.
Oh my God.
I love her. Love her so much. I think she's just amazing.
Oh my God. I'm so glad I now know all of this. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, yeah, I can't, I'm like really ashamed that I didn't know this before, but you know what? That's why you're here. That's why we're bringing this shit back.
It's like, exactly. That's exclusively why, so that we can know more things, because we need to know a lot. There's like so many things that we need to know.
So many things.
And we need to learn them. So,
that is, what a beautiful, incredible life.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
It's, yeah. And I just love that Frida managed to be all the things without tearing down anything. Like, she was like, I don't have to choose to do any of it. I can do it all.
And yeah. What do you think about that?
How about that? incredible. Yeah. Hopefully you enjoyed learning about Frida.
100%. And absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
She's incredible. Wow. Oh, what a great way to bring us back.
Yay!
What a beautiful, beautiful story. And it wasn't like crushingly heartbreaking.
No.
Our style. But yeah,
it's how I like to roll. I will say I'm already working on my next one. So just remember this moment. Yeah. For later, because I'm going to get dark again. I have to. I have to get real dark and depressing.
You have to.
Or I just won't feel at home anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I had so much fun trying to find a misconnection, because I feel like we got a lot of the good, like, ones that are easy to find.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
yes,
I ended up having to, like, actually go to Craigslist and, like, look at them.
Oh, fuck.
So I've got some. I started in our, like, Seattle thing.
Okay.
And I found, like, one that I was like, this is weird. I think it's the one I chose. But then I was like, I need to, what's a place where it would be, like, real good and bad? So, of course, I went for Florida.
Oh, no.
I found some.
That's so smart. I got a Seattle one. That's, like, I mean, I'm not going to build it up. It's not amazing. There was one that I found and I can't find it again. And I, you know, it just sucks. So,
don't you hate that?
But I will be using this one.
Yeah, I have one. Let me just find it. Also, I guess we have.
Oh, misconnection.
Misconnections.
Connections.
Forgot what the sound is that we put on there.
Wow. It's
remember how we did this before, but it's misconnections.
Yes, misconnections. This is the section of the show where we share misconnections that we find on Facebook in hopes that we will connect.
We want to help people. We are here in service of people and helping them find love.
Yeah. That's right.
And
wherever
on
that might
miss be, those connections.
We're going to connect.
Put them back together. We're going to
connect. Put them back together. I love the ones that are like really not specific. Like I saw one that was like, you ripped jeans, yellow shirt. You cute. Call me. And it's like, okay.
That's helpful.
That could be anyone. So I did call. I didn't. You go first. Sorry. I'm just excited.
Okay. So mine is more, this one's more for me because I need answers. I don't understand this. And I'm very confused. Very short and sweet. Very confusing. So this misconnection is entitled Missing My Right Hand.
No.
This is from Seattle. Somewhere, you're out there somewhere. And posted recently. Like this was like 7 days ago maybe like 8 days ago. Because I think I just found it last night.
Sure.
8 to 9 days ago. This person's here. They are with us. I'm sorry. I'm assuming it's a he. I shouldn't. Okay, this is what it says. Beaver, comma, as in addressing a letter to. Beaver,
got it,
comma.
Noted.
I miss my friend, and there is no other pain like it. Signed, Pork and Beans.
Whoa.
Do you have...
I don't have any...
Thoughts on...
Thoughts at all.
Never have, never will. I don't, okay, because like, okay, missing my right
pork
hand.
And beans.
I did assume beaver meant vagina.
Vagina. Yes.
Respectfully so. Okay.
Sure.
I miss my friend. We could be talking of said vagina. But then, and there is no other pain like it.
Huh.
Okay, so like.
No pain.
Signed, Pork and Beans.
Pork and Beans. Missing my right hand. I don't know.
This is like,
I mean,
this is like a mystery box. This is like a escape room.
It could be.
We just need to figure out the
balls,
puzzle. I mean, I guess. I mean, I will listen. When you eat pork and beans, you should be cutting up the weenie. But let's say you're not. Let's say you have a full weenie in your pork and beans.
Yeah, sure.
So dick and balls. So the dick and the balls.
Beans.
The dick and the beans. The weens and beans.
Perfect. We cracked.
The weens and beans are missing the beaver. But also missing my right hand, which feels fairly... Maybe we have a phantom limb situation. Okay? The right hand is no longer with us.
Sure.
The right hand was lovingly named Beaver. Maybe the right hand was lost to a beaver. Okay? Oh. So we named it, so in memoriam, named it Beaver. The hand.
Sure.
They're friends. I miss his hand. We're all friends with our hands, I would say.
Yes. Yep.
There is no other pain like it. That's where it gets me.
No other pain like losing your hand.
Like losing your hand, I guess. Like not being able to jerk off with your dominant hand.
Maybe that's
it. Maybe it's a righty.
Yeah, because it does sound very masturbatory.
It does. It does.
There's no other pain. Missing my right hand. Pain like- but then there's also like, you're my right hand man. So it's like, is this a reference to that?
Missing my right hand, beaver. There is no other pain like it.
Yeah.
Find pork and beans.
I don't know, man. They got to be more clear if they're really trying to connect. It doesn't sound like they're
They're not trying hard enough. But I will say, 9 days ago you wrote this. 8 to 9 days ago you wrote this. If you're out there, just contact us. We need to know.
I really, really want to know.
If you listener, dear listener, if you have answers, if you've cracked this case, people are standing by the phones.
Yes.
They're waiting and there will be a reward. It's not very large. It is actually non-existent. So
it's a pat on the back. It is a big old
but also
high
one of these
five.
Where you're just like, Okay.
Got it.
That's misconnections.
Misconnections.
There it is.
Mine's short and sweet.
Love it.
I don't know if there's much to read into. It's just a little ominous. So the title is Been Thinking of You EP. So where we are right now.
Oh my God. So close.
I hope my neighbor isn't listening. Oh, they put their name too. Wow. Okay.
So they straight put their name. Okay. Yeah, should we leave that out or should we say?
I'll leave
How about
it?
You tell me what it is? I'll bleep tell it out. You.
Okay. Okay. First of all, this is what they say. It's been a few years since you moved away after JP's passing. Whoa, coming in hot.
What happened to JP? Beaver attack.
It's been a few years. Fucking beaver attack. I still think of you and look back fondly on those times. Unlikely you'll see this, but I wanted to take the chance and say hi. Your flat tire at the WW, I think the...
Oh, okay. Oh my God, that's right by us. Oh my God, go there now and look for them.
I shouldn't have done something so close to home.
Okay, first of all, we're also telling people way too close to where we live. It's fine. It's fine. I'll bleep that too.
Right there.
Oh my God, I literally, it's the house right there. No, I'm just kidding.
Your flat tire at the QFC started it all. Hope you are well. And then he signs his name.
Oh my God, I know a...
You know a...
I know a... He lives in West Seattle.
Does he know a flat tire at the WWQFC? Crazy. I feel like Misconnections is just a place you go when you've had a hair too much to drink.
Yes. You feel a little sad.
Your partner's asleep next to you. Mm-hmm. You're still up. You got the spins.
You've already gone through all of the wanted, just to read the gross, nasty messages of people looking to just have sex with other people and kind of giggle. You've done that. And now you feel sad and a little dirty.
Yeah. And you're you remember seeing, stalking someone's Instagram from mm-hmm. forever ago. Yeah. Or you think about, there was that one time, 8 years ago when I passed someone on Times
Square.
With
the ripped jeans. Yeah.
I wonder what they're doing, and I can't wait for them to see this. And then you throw it out there, and then you forget you did it, and that's where they all live.
You know, and
it's pretty beautiful.
It's beautiful. And then one day, two bitches will just bring it
point
up
and laugh.
They'll just say your name. Just kidding. I'll definitely leave it. I won't keep it on there. I don't want to out. You know,
I don't want to out
What
him.
If he's there? What if he goes to the Westwood Village
right
every day?
Me.
It's probably that person right there. I don't even know what's over
there. Like,
hi. So just say, that's me.
That is crazy.
Misconnections, man.
Misconnections.
Good to be back.
Intense.
It feels good.
Coming in hot.
Helping people find love.
That's right. Wow.
Trying to figure out mysteries of the internet.
Wow. This was so much fun.
It was.
It felt really, really
good. Felt really good.
I learned so much.
I'm
I
glad.
Genuinely did.
I'm
this
glad.
One I'm not going to forget.
Oh my God. Good.
I've a lot of them I'm like,
I've forgotten all of them, including the ones I did. All of them.
Yes. Same.
I love listening to them sometimes and being like, oh my God, that's so weird. I didn't know. I did know that because I'm the one talking.
Yeah.
But I don't know
You're
it anymore.
You're the one telling yourself right now.
I love
what
to,
happened in this
I
situation.
Love to surprise myself with information all the time. It's really great.
Just forget things.
Okay, and I do want to share the sources. I used
yes,
a lot,
yes, yes.
And I eventually want to figure out a way to get this all on our website and
yes.
have our sources accessible. We're not there yet. Also, mm-hmm. I want to figure out a way to get our episodes transcribed for people who want to be able to access it in a different form.
Sure.
Not there yet. Don't know how. That
yeah.
I mean, I know how. Us. We will do it by hand. But anyways, want to share the sources. Yes. Okay. So I used liveabout.com, artuk.org, pbs.org, biography.com, artsandculture.google.com, dazeddigital.com, The New York Times, CNN.com, and Wear Your Voice magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's it. That's
Wait,
it.
I love Wear Your Voice.
Me too.
Yeah, they fucking rule.
Yeah.
Great job.
Thank
really,
you.
Really great job. I loved this so much, and I love you a lot. Just going to throw
just
that out there.
Say
just how do you feel
I
about
do
that?
Actually, Yeah, I mean, that's the first time anyone's ever actually said that to me.
You idiot.
Probably gonna go home and write a misconnection to you. I hope you see it later.
I'm gonna have a little too much to drink tonight.
It's feeling like a Craigslist kind of night. Uh-oh. Oh, I love you too, though. For real.
Oh, thanks.
I love you. I love this show. I'm so happy to be back. And we're gonna try not to disappoint.
Yes.
Anyone.
Ever. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Yes. And we'll be back on Friday.
Of course.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. No.
No. Should we just do the whole thing over? Do you want to start over? Shelly, you've never heard of it again. Oh, sorry.
You can find us on the internet at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our handle is at Frisky History. You can also listen on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google maybe has one. Anywhere podcasts are available.
You can direct your questions, concerns, feedback, and weird sex stories to our email at friskyhistory@gmail.com.
Yeah. So, bye.
Fuck you, Terry.